Just to kind of recap and bring up to date what I'm hearing in the spirit, I just want to remind you of what I shared last week. I got a lot of grins from a lot of you, but I'm convinced of this, that the kingdom of God's profile picture is men and women from among every tribe and every tongue and every nation worshiping before the Lamb of God. Amen? How many of you can see that? I can see that. It's from the Word of God. It's the picture we see in the book of Revelation of what the kingdom is like. Amen? And how many know in this day and time we need to have that in our purview? Amen? We need to have that as our prophetic perception of how we look at things. Even how we look at our families, how we look at our workplace, how we look at our cities and communities, how we look at the nation and the nations, you have to look at them from a kingdom mindset. Because remember, when you were born again, you were raised up with Christ and seated with Him in heavenly places. Now, there is a heavenly perspective that God has toward every nation. Are you with me? And that is understanding that He has not left us here among the nations to curse the nations, but to see them become blessed. Amen? To actually, what's the command? What's the great commission? To go preach the gospel to all creation, to go into all nations and make disciples of all nations. So God, it's important for the time that we have that we be the people that are called by His name. Amen? And I want to talk to you about that responsibility today. And to understand, because everything that the world is so longing, supposedly, to see happen among all these ethnicities is only going to happen in the kingdom of God. It's not going to happen just because people live next to each other. It happens in the spirit. Are y'all with me? Because our fellowship is not according to our flesh. It's according to the spirit. Amen? And our koinonia, our fellowship, is based upon the fact that we have been born again of the same spirit. We are one in the spirit of God. Hallelujah. And so that's a beautiful thing to understand. And yet we still get to enjoy the diversity of all the differences in the flesh, right? We get to enjoy that, and we should be able to enjoy and celebrate that. But what causes us to be one is only what happens in the Spirit of God. Amen? And so just hold on to that, because it's very important for us, especially in a time when there's such troubling times, even in the nation. Okay? And it's important for us. Now, I shared with you how when the early church was dealing with this whole thing of the nations coming in, James stood up among his Jewish brethren, and he actually quoted from the book of Amos, the prophet Amos, one of those ancient prophecies that declared this, that the Lord said that He was intending to rebuild and restore the fallen tabernacle of David, of all places. Because up until then, you've got to remember, and even now in Christianity, a lot of people put a lot more stock in how nice the church building is, right? The tabernacles and the sanctuary. I've been in some beautiful buildings, and I'm not against it. At all. I mean, I'd like to have a bigger one, but I'm just saying what God is wanting to do is so much more than brick and mortar. Hello? Or as we'd say in the Southwest, stucco. But God is wanting to do something that is very, very important for us to understand. And He said, I want to restore, but here's the purpose, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Think about that. The whole purpose of God pulling together His tabernacle among men is so that the others can seek the Lord and come into the kingdom of God. When you understand that, you start to realize the importance of why we do dwell and worship together and all we're called to do. Just a quick repeat, I guess, a little bit. Of the tabernacle of David was what we would call a tent of meeting. It was a tent. It was not a grandiose temple. It wasn't anything like Moses' tabernacle or the temple on the Temple Mount. It was nothing like that at all. It was a tent. Interestingly, though, in the tent, David loved God's presence, and David always made sure he had the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the glory and the presence of the Lord. But here's another interesting thing. In David's tent, there was no veil in front of the glory of God. So all the worshipers, not just the high priest going behind the veil once a year, but all the worshipers could experience and behold the glory of God. Interestingly, y'all all know that David, though he was a warrior and a leader, David was also a psalmist. He was anointed. Amen? Most of the psalms in the Bible were written by David, the man after God's own heart, right? And so David, even though he was a warrior and he fought battles on behalf of the kingdom of God, David also was a lover of God. And in that, he had a strong anointing on his life. Let me just tell you this about musicians that are anointed. David's anointing was so strong that he could just merely play his harp and demons would leave King Saul. The demons that had tormented Saul had to go when that man grabbed his instrument. How many of you know that's an anointing every musician ought to want to have? Amen? That when you, I've been in meetings where sometimes, you know, just somebody strikes a chord and I can sense the presence. Anybody with me? Suddenly I can hear. Suddenly. I mean, and I'm telling you, sometimes in my own bedroom, I've grabbed my guitar before and just started to play. And even before I said anything, there's something that's released. Here's the thing. Here's what he did in his tabernacle. He appointed musicians and singers to nonstop worship and praise the Lord in that tent. So think about it. At any time, somebody could go into that tent and it was nonstop worship and praise that was going forth. And anybody that entered in with them, again, could behold the glory of God. Now, this is what God said, I'm going to restore in the last days church. It's not going to be about, again, building another temple and this and that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tabernacle among men. Hallelujah. Do y'all see this? Do you see it? And the sacrifices that David offered were spiritual sacrifices, which is what we're told in 1 Peter, we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices, which is what? The sacrifice of praise. David offered up shouts of joy. It wasn't about burning incense and slaying animals. It was about worshiping God in spirit and truth. Hallelujah. All of David's psalms were musical prayers. A lot of times we read the book of Psalms, but that was the song book of the Bible. Are you with me? They were musical prayers of intercession, praise, worship, and the prophetic. The prophetic is so strong in the book of Psalms. There are many things prophesied. Did you know that in the book of Psalms are the words spoken by Jesus when he hung on the cross? They were sung hundreds of years previously in the tabernacle of David. So how many of you know, even today was not very much today. There was much prophetic coming forth. Are y'all with me? And so you start to understand the power of that. Again, what's the reason, Pastor Rick, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord? There will not be the harvest we really want to see among all the nations until this is reestablished. Hallelujah. The Davidic worship that we see in the Bible, that pattern, is what causes us to worship together in spirit and in truth. Amen. And that's why you can have the glory of the Lord in a small little building like this, or in a living room, or in a grandiose theater. Amen? The key is the people that are there. Hallelujah. Because we are the stones, the living stones, that are being fitted together to build a spiritual house under the Lord God the Almighty. Everybody say amen. Now, there is also referenced in the scripture, before I move off of this a little bit, the key of David is mentioned. Now, in the book of Revelation, the key of David was mentioned in relation to Revelation. Not the book of Revelation, but having revelation. The Lord would say, you know, he that has the key of David, he said, I can open doors that no man can open, and I can shut doors that no man can shut. And so there's this understanding of revelation, the opening and the revealing of things. As he would say, that I saw a door open in heaven, and I heard a voice saying, come up here. And so I'll mention something about that more in just a moment. But here's the thing I believe about the key of David is this, because it's called David's key, okay? And I think it's twofold, and it's really our heavenly calling. It's twofold, though. David was a man after God's own heart. So it's about priestly worship unto the Lord. But secondly, it says in Acts 13 that David served the purposes of God in his generation. So it's also apostolic. Y'all getting with it? The priestly ministry is ministering unto the Lord and to one another. The apostolic ministry is to go therefore as a sent one of God. Amen? And to see the harvest come in. And so that dimension is what is the key of David. So as much as David loved God, loved the presence of God, worshiped God unashamedly, and all of those things, we love his heart, David also was determined that God's purposes were going to be fulfilled on his watch. I was pointing to the watch I don't have, so that I haven't worn in years. It's not going to happen on my iPhone. Hallelujah. Wow. Sorry about that. But it's to assert that God's purpose. How many of you want to see God's purposes be fulfilled? Amen. Amen. That's important. So, again, it's this model. Here's something unique, though, for us. We know that we worship in spirit and in truth. And we know it really doesn't matter about whether you're up on a mountain or down in a valley, or, you know, it doesn't. The place doesn't matter. It's the unity. It's the unity. It's the sound that is released. But can I tell you one more thing that they didn't have in the old covenant? They didn't have the blood. Not the blood of the Lamb. Because the blood of the Lamb, the Bible says in Hebrews, gives us access to the real Holy of Holies. The real holy place. Not just the model that had been built upon the earth to replicate heaven. We get to go into that place. Hallelujah. Now that's exciting when you think about it. And I don't know that we fully even understand that access that we have. It's called worshiping at Mount Zion. Now Mount Zion is described as not a geographical mountain in Jerusalem. Mount Zion is described as we come to the place that is called the city of the living God, the heavenly. Everybody say heavenly. The heavenly Jerusalem, amen? We have come to the general assembly of the firstborn. I mean, the church that is enrolled in heaven. We are connected to Mount Zion. And that in Mount Zion is God, the judge of all, and Jesus, who is the mediator of the new covenant. And the blood that still speaks. It speaks better than the blood of Abel. Now, hear my heart. I'm thinking about a message on this. The blood of Abel cried out because for justice, amen? He was murdered, right? But the blood, here's what it says in Hebrews, the blood of Jesus speaks better than that. Because the blood of those who've given their life for something cries out for justice. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, the law. The blood of Jesus is mercy and grace and forgiveness and redemption. Amen? Hallelujah. We're a people of the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. That's the justice we must look for. Now, the other blood will demand justice. Don't get me wrong. But it's the blood of Jesus that is what is a part of who we are. Amen. There is a power. There is a presence. There is a glory. I would say to you, there is a sound. There is a sound that only is found in true worship. And it's when we're gathered together in one accord and we're in agreement. And the remnant church that wants to see this happen, we must not only believe for it, we need to understand it. Because what will happen sometimes, I know many, please hear my heart. I'm not trying to be negative toward any churches. But just doing contemporary music doesn't mean you're doing anointed Tabernacle of David music. Because we could do a lot of songs that in your initial recording, they were powerful. But the power is on the anointing that is upon the worship leaders and on the people that are worshiping. And we're not just being moved in our soul. We're being moved in our spirit to commune with God. Amen. Songs and prayers that come by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We ought to be able to say, just as we would say about ministry, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me as a priest of God to minister at Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Again, it's for the rest of mankind to seek the Lord. What's the lie of the enemy? Well, you people are nuts and people aren't drawn to that. Interestingly, religious people can't stand it. Because it's not in their pattern or their model. They don't understand. Why do you have to be emotional? Why do you have to show so much passion? Why do you have to, you know, why do you go so long? Right? All those things because, they don't like not being cookie cutter. But I'm telling you, there's something God wants to do. And I don't think we've seen anything yet what God wants to do. I think there's going to be times when the presence of God's going to come so powerful. It's not going to be about whether or not we can stand up. It's going to be about whether or not we want to leave the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what I love about Joshua. They said, when they looked for Joshua, everybody else had left the tent of meeting, and Moses sent somebody after him. And you know where Joshua was? He was still in the tent of meeting in the glory of the Lord. Interestingly, that was the young man that led the children of Israel into the promised land. He finished the job of his spiritual father, Moses. Hallelujah. Again, another message. Two things I want to encourage you with today. The first one is this. We must assume. Now, hear my heart when I say this, because I'm not wanting to come off as arrogant or braggadocious about this. But we need to assume our rightful position as children of God, as the church, as the body of Christ. Let me share a passage with you from John chapter 1. Now, listen to these words here. John chapter 1, beginning with verse number 11. He came, speaking of Jesus, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as, now, in other words, the Jews didn't receive him as a whole, right? But those who have received him, that's me and you, right? To them he gave what? The right to become children of God. Even to those who believe in his name, who were born. Now get this, not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. It had nothing to do, everybody listen, has nothing to do with your natural bloodline or pedigree. Everybody with me? Had nothing to do with that. He said, but it's those that are born of God. Hallelujah. He makes it very, very clear here. That word there for right, when it says the right, it literally means authority and privilege. Authority and privilege. In fact, the Amplified actually says that. Beside that word, when you look at the Amplified version to help us understand the Greek, it means authority and privilege as God's children. Now, hear my heart. It's not an authority and privilege that's based upon flesh or based upon a particular ethnicity or based upon a particular gender or based upon a particular social standing in the world. I mean, you know, all of those things divide us. Right? So I might literally say to you, you don't have what it takes because you don't fit this. You're not this gender. You're not this whatever. Everybody with me? Those things are of the flesh. But we are born according to the Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit. Now look at Galatians 3 with me, verse number 26. Galatians 3, 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm a son of God. Come on, say it. Ladies, you could say it too. I am a son of God. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor freeman. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one. Everybody say one. In Christ Jesus. Are you with me? And if you belong to Christ, then you are what? Abraham's descendants. Heirs. Everybody say heirs. According to the promise. Now hear my heart in this. Any rights or authority or privilege that you or I would have according to our flesh is nothing in comparison to being in Christ. Amen? And to being a joint heir with Him. Hallelujah? Here's the thing. When we are obsessed with or we take pride in our flesh, we've actually, hear my heart when I say this, we've actually lowered our own self-esteem to the earthly corruptible level. Just being honest. Because see, when you and I were born again, we became heavenly men and women. Amen? Hello? We became heavenly men and women. And when you break it down and you operate at that level, let me tell you, that's the level Satan loves to battle you on. Amen? He don't want to battle you on this level. You won't find a snake that wants to get up in the air and fight off any other predator, right? He wants to stay on the ground where he's designed to work and operate, amen? They say an eagle will pick a snake up, and that snake can't do nothing when he's off the ground, amen? Interesting, God refers to us that we will rise up, what? With wings beneath our wings like eagles, hallelujah? Anyway, we have a higher authority and privilege because we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Say amen. That's an eternal thing. And it's by the grace of God, hallelujah, it's by the grace of God that you and I are born of God, we're adopted into the family of God, we're the children of God, and frankly, we're all family. Look at your family and wave. I would say smile, but most of you would never see that smile. If you can smile with your eyes, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Jesus asked his disciples, he said, who do they say the Son of Man is? And they gave 100 answers, you know. None of them were right. And finally, he looks at his own disciples and said, but who do you guys say that I am? And Peter, of course, spoke up. And Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, because his name at the time was Simon. He said, blessed are you, Simon, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In other words, you've got a revelation of something that's going to change your life. Hallelujah. And I say unto you, you are now Peter. He changed it to Petros, a rock. He changed his name. Interestingly, he's now getting this man to identify not with his flesh. Are you with me? But now he's going to be identified. He's going to be identified. He's going to be rock solid. Hallelujah. In God. And he said, and upon this rock, this revelation that you have, I will build my, get this, I will build my church and what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against the advancing church. Hallelujah. We got that backwards. We are like, oh man, things are going so bad. And we're going to talk about that today. What side of the aisle are we on here? Are we on defense or on offense? Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, God's wanting to stir us up about something. And then he says to Peter this, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Now, beloved, think about that just a minute. That's quite the authority and privilege when you're a child of God. Hello? That's quite the authority and privilege. He said, my son, I give you the keys to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Are y'all with me? Just let that sink in for a moment. Now, are we in days of trouble here in the earth? Absolutely. Absolutely. We're living in times like nothing I've seen in my 62 years on the planet. But, you know, a lot of you lived a lot longer than that, so I know you might. But I want to tell you today, we're struggling many times to find peace, and Jesus promised we could have his peace. Amen? It's really, really important because remember when Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, and if you just took it at face value, you'd be worried what Jesus said was going to come upon the earth. But he said, these things I've spoken to you so that you may have peace. Interesting. In other words, so you can just rest in me. And then he goes on to say something that I know we've laughed about this. I don't think we would all want to just put this on our refrigerator. But it says, in the world, you will have tribulation. Hallelujah. In the world, all hell is going to break loose or whatever. You know, you're going to have tribulation. But then he says, but take courage. Everybody say, take courage. For I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. And you're in Christ. You're clothed in Christ. You're a son of God. Hallelujah. You're born again. You've been given the keys of authority. Amen. And your Lord has already whooped the devil. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody with me? And so when everything starts to shake, we shouldn't shake. Hello? Why? Because the kingdom we're born into is unshakable. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I know also we deal with the uncertainty of the economic climate that's out there, right? Because of the virus and because of the racial unrest and the riots and various things that are going on. I mean, boy, you want to get depressed, just watch a little bit of news. But we ought to be reading more of the good news and quit looking so much at the news. Are y'all with me? But can I tell you something? Even in this area, not only do we have peace promised to us and protection, but also provision. Everybody say provision. This is important. People act like that not. But Jesus actually said, do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink and what you're going to wear, and don't keep worrying. For all the things, all the nations of the world eagerly seek these things. In other words, every ethnicity on the planet seeks these things. I don't care who you are, black, white, brown, whatever. We all live to make sure this we're provided for. Everybody say provision. And Jesus said, everybody seeks that. But your Father knows you need these things. I remember the first time I read that, I just underlined it and just closed my Bible and gave thanks. It wasn't like the Lord was saying, oh, you're hungry? Oh, you're naked? You need a house to live? I mean, he knows. Amen? Say he knows. But seek first the kingdom and these things will be what? Added to you. And then he said this, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly, get this, to give you the kingdom. He is thrilled to hand you the keys. Amen. Amen. He's thrilled to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. One of the most powerful rights, if you want to talk about rights and privileges, that you and I have as a child of God is the keys of the kingdom. Glory be to God. To call for the kingdom of God to come and the will of God to be done on earth, in my family, among my children, whatever. Amen? As it is in it. To be able to pray in the name of Jesus and see change take place. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. And my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Unanswered prayer doesn't glorify God. Hello. But when we pray correctly because we've been abiding in the word and we pray the word of God and the will of God, God intends to answer because he's glorified by that. And we prove to be that we're his sons, that we're his disciples. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all getting this? It's very important. I believe that's why Paul wrote to Timothy. Yes, I want you to fight the good fight for your prophetic purpose and destiny. Absolutely. But first of all, I want you to make sure you offer up prayers and petitions and intercessions and thanksgiving for all men and especially those who are in authority. Come on. I've said this 100 times, whether you voted for them or not. Pray for them. And it says this, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Amen. Who wishes what? That none should perish. But that all would come into the knowledge of the truth. Amen? It pleases God when we pray. It pleases God when we understand our rightful position as children of God. Hallelujah? Because what we're doing, we're saying, Lord, I take you at your word. Your word. His word is his word. Hallelujah. And can I tell you, nothing has changed. Even from the Old Testament, if my people who are what? Called by my name. He didn't say if we could get more Republicans in or more Libertarians in or more Democrat. No, he said if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. Hallelujah. It's a rightful place. Are y'all with me? And it's directly connected to the tabernacle of David being restored among us when we understand this. Because let me tell you, harvest and justice and healing and restoration, all these things we want, amen? It's going to require us to assume our rightful position. Hello? As children of God. In prayer and in worship, as the tabernacle of David, the house of God, the royal priesthood. Hallelujah! We should expect his presence when we praise the Lord. Do you? You might say, why, Pastor? Because he inhabits praise. Hallelujah. We should expect answer to prayer if we pray according to the will of God. Because he's glorified by that. Amen? I love what it says in James. The effective and the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How many of you know that verse? I love that verse. A righteous man. Guess what? Everybody look at me. You're all righteous. Everybody on camera. If you are in Christ, you are righteous. You are the righteousness of God in him. And your prayers availeth much. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation says it this way. I love it. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Hallelujah. How many of we believe that? We pray. Hello? As born again children of God, we have been given the right, the authority, and the privilege, which is a rightful position of humble worship, to come to Mount Zion and seek the Lord. Hallelujah. What a beautiful thing. Now, the second thing I want to talk to you about is we must take responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. Because it's one thing to know what your rightful position is, and it's another thing to take the responsibility to go there. Because as the royal priesthood, we have a responsibility because we're on earth. Y'all stay with me. We're on earth. There are things we do on earth that we won't do in heaven. Heaven won't come to earth because heaven sent heaven to earth. Stay with me. Because he gave the keys to those who are on the earth. Are y'all getting this? And it's important for us to understand that. Now, I understand part of our Tabernacle of David worship, we do it in secret. Right? Each of us in our private times with God and in intimacy. But there's other times when we gather with others and there's a great dimension of power when there's unity and agreement. Everybody say agreement. But here's the thing again, there's a responsibility. Now we know the verse in Hebrews where it says, let us not forsake our own what? Assembling together as is the habit of some, but all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, that's a verse that obviously, by the way, it's Hebrews 10:25. And what the Lord is saying is, don't forsake the times when we can gather together before the Lord. Let's not forsake that to pray and worship together. Now, it's about being in one accord. Everybody with me? It's about, now I believe with all of my heart, you know, I know right now we're in a very interesting situation and we're having to deal with space and distancing and all that. And many, many people, there are people praying for some of you that live 2,000 miles from here. But they're in the spirit with us and we're in one accord and we're in agreement. Are y'all with me? The same thing. We got people here in Arizona that are praying for people back in Memphis or in Florida or wherever. And I'm telling you, God is doing something with that. But God is wanting to bring us into that new place. Hallelujah. Where we can be one in the spirit. Now, I know I've taught you this before, but for the sake of today's teaching, I just want to hit it again. The word agreement is a Greek word that means it, well, to pronounce it, I have no idea if I'm saying it right, but if I speak it phonically, it is symphonio. And we derive our English word symphony from it. But if you look in a concordance at what the definition of symphony is, it means this, to sound the same in harmony. Okay? In other words, it's harmonious and it's a sound. It's symphonic. In music, we call it symphonic. It doesn't mean that three of the guys are playing a different song in the band, okay? There's something about unity, and there is agreement. But what I want you to, I believe one of the most beautiful examples is actually how this worked actually in the Old Testament. When they were dedicating the temple in 2 Chronicles 5, they had summoned all the worshipers, all the instruments, and everybody came together, and the priests, they all came together into the house of the Lord. And the Bible says this, as they played their instruments, making one sound to the Lord, And then the voices of the people were singing, lifting up one voice. So it was one voice and one sound. It's the biblical definition of agreement. Are y'all with me? The Bible, and what they were saying, we would consider it simple, but it's quite profound. They said, "For the Lord is good, and his mercies endure forever." That's all it says in that passage that they were doing. The Lord is good. Let's say it together. The Lord is good, and his mercies endure forever. Hallelujah. Say it again. The Lord is good, and his mercies endure forever. And as they did that, the Bible says that a glory cloud came and filled the temple. The house of God was filled with the glory cloud that was so strong that no one could rise up in the presence of the glory cloud to even minister. That's what I said before. There may be some times we might not get up until it's time to go to work on Monday. You know what I mean? Y'all are thinking, really? What about lunch? You know? But I just want to say this to you. It's the power of sounding the same, not merely thinking the same, not merely having we agreed upon our doctrine. Those are important things. But it's about sounding the same, believing for the same, and lifting up one voice. There's something about that that releases something very, very powerful. It's being one in the Spirit. And what I love about it more than anything, Jesus comes into the midst of it. How many know he's been in the midst of us since about the second song? I mean, it's like, wow. Are y'all with me? He's here even right now. He is the Word, so he didn't leave because preaching started. The power of sounding the same. It's being one in the Spirit. And the reason it's so powerful, there's another principle. You all know it. One can put 1,000 to flight. So you do have authority by yourself. Are you with me? Hello. But two can put 10,000 to flight. Notice it didn't say 2,000. It's 10 times over. Well, three would be what? Any mathematicians here? All I'm saying is, every time there's more. Jesus even said, I just need two or more of you to gather in my name. I'll be there. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, but do we want more? Absolutely, because I believe there's even more of a dramatic exponential power that is released. 120 released such power from the upper room that 3,000 people got saved on the birthday of the church. Hallelujah. Are y'all with me? This is important for us to understand this. There's a sound. The praise team went there this morning. It's the sound of an abundance of rain. Hallelujah. It's the sound of the new song. It's the sound of a prayer, of a decree, of a prophetic word, of a proclamation that causes heaven to come. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, if we're going to gather together, I want heaven to come. Anybody with me? I mean, I might as well do something else if we're not going to have heaven come. Jesus came to the temple and he set it in order. Remember that, right? He came and turned over the money changers and all of that and their tables. And meanwhile, think about it, all outside, the children were singing, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Jewish people were having a fit. And Jesus defended the children's praise, amen, with another ancient prophecy, amen. God has established and ordained praise to silence the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's something powerful about that. But the point of me bringing that up was that he said, my Father's house will be called what? Come on, talk to me. A house of prayer. And this is very important. Jesus was quoting from Isaiah 56:7. And let me just read it to you. I don't think I gave it to you, did I? Okay, let me read it to you. Look what it says. This is what Jesus was quoting from. I will bring them to my holy mountain. That's Mount Zion, okay? And I will make them joyful in the house of prayer. Everybody smile at me. You say prayer and people go, what night is prayer? Okay, right? That's almost a letdown, right? But he said, I'll make you joyful. Why? Because prayer is more than just making requests. It's enjoying God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations, for all the ethnic groups. Hallelujah. It's another revelation of the tabernacle of David being restored in the New Testament church. Here's another thing about prophetic proclamation. I know a lot of times people think, why is that so important? When we're singing or declaring or decreeing the word of God, you got to understand something. There's another principle, and you know it, but I'm just helping give you a tune-up this morning. Psalm 103 says this, that the angels of the Lord hearken unto and perform the voice of his word. Think about that. So we know when we come to Mount Zion, there's myriads of angels, and they get really busy when you and I are making proclamations. They do. Because they perform and carry out the voice of His Word. And you know what? You can have angelic activity in your life if you'll just get the Word in your mouth. Hallelujah. And begin to proclaim the Word of the Lord. Now, you may say, well, why is that, Pastor? Well, I hope you'll get this today. Sound precedes manifestation. Did you get that? Sound precedes a manifestation. We ought to take a Selah moment and just kind of think on that a moment. Okay? Good sounds, you have a good manifestation. Murmuring, complaining, not so good. You with me? But I want you to think about something. God looks out upon the earth, void and dark and formless, chaotic. And He looks upon it and He says, let there be. In the Hebrew, it literally means light be. Light be. And guess what? Light came. Amen? He didn't say, boy, it's dark out here. Are you with me? Hello? Sound, words precede a manifestation. Are you with me? Jesus turned to the enemy. You remember what He said? Get behind me, Satan. And guess what? When that got released, he had to go. Every time Jesus said, it is written, the enemy had to go. Are you with me? In fact, it even says in the Old Testament, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established for you. And light will shine on your way. But you got to decree it. Are y'all getting this? So He sends His disciples out to minister. He said, I want you to go into the villages and towns that I'm coming to. And I want you to go in there and tell them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? Interesting, He told them to say that first. And then He said what? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, right? Cast out demons, raise it. I mean, He said, in other words, demonstrate it, but first declare it, because again, sound precedes manifestation. We come into the house of the Lord, we're all loving on one another and catching up a little bit, but when we start to release the sound of praise, things manifest. Are y'all with me? And you could do that in your home, you could do that in your private time alone with God, you could do that with your family. When we gather on Thursday nights, this past Thursday, we had, I just saw it yesterday, close to 60 people praying with us on Thursday night. And in my living room, it was Susan and I, Angel and Bill. But 60 more people were joining us. Are y'all with me? This is powerful. We can see that if we do not take responsibility to pray and to worship, to assume our rightful position, there will be no manifestation. There will be no change. Y'all getting where we're going? Okay, so what do? We look at everything that's going on. We've got to learn to watch in the Spirit. We've got to learn to engage with the Holy Spirit and figure out what's really going on. We got to look from the seat where we're seated spiritually. Because how many of you know, you can do a lot of watching and get in a lot of trouble. Especially if you're just watching the news networks. Okay? There's a reason they don't say, you know, the news network doesn't advertise as being good news. There's a reason they don't say that. Amen? Jesus told us to watch disciples. He said, keep watch and pray. Notice that. We ought to pray from our time of watching. Because if we'll be quick to hear, we'll know how to speak. Hallelujah. And I believe as you and I activate the key of David, we're going to enter a new season. I'm going to say it again. I believe this. I've prophesied this before, but it was stirring in my heart just this morning when I was reviewing my notes. There's a season coming as we get the heart of David about worship and seeking God, that God's going to open some doors to us, and that key's going to open some doors of revelation, and we're going to hear the Lord say to us, come up here. Amen? So come up here. Encounters are coming in the Spirit. Anybody want some of that? I'm serious. I'm serious. I believe it. Because I believe it's got to happen for us to know how to navigate the waters we're in. We need some watchmen on the wall. Anybody with me? Habakkuk was like that. Remember? We all know what God said to Habakkuk. Write the vision. Make it plain. Right? But what did He say before that? He said, I am going to station myself on the wall. On the rampart. I'm going to be a watchman on the wall. And I'm going to see what He will say to me and how I will respond to Him when I am reproved. So Habakkuk was coming before. The most humble thing you and I can do is get up on the wall in prayer and say, Lord, show me what I need to do and what I need to do next. Amen? What I need to adjust. If I need a course adjustment, I am ready for it. Amen? And I believe this is where we have to be, because I believe with all of my heart, we're never going to have the peace if we're not seeing it from God's perspective, because the wind and the waves are too strong. Amen? The voices are too loud. But my sheep hear my voice. Hallelujah. So we need to watch like never before, especially during these uncertain times that we're in. I'll be honest with you. I want to know and understand what the Lord is doing. Anybody with me? I really want to know. I want to know that. I also want to strengthen myself in the Lord so that I can be bold and so that I can be strong in the Lord. Anybody with me? I want to be able to respond correctly and not like a weakling in the spirit. Seriously. I want to be strong in the spirit. I don't want to be weak in the spirit. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about arrogance and human pride. I'm talking about understanding who I am in God. I want to be strong. But also, can I tell you this? More than anything, when you strengthen yourself in the Lord, now you have the capacity to love greatly. How many, we need that, don't we? Because see, would you agree with me? Lawlessness is here. Okay, lawlessness is here. No doubt about it. But let me tell you something. Because of lawlessness, it says clearly, people's love will grow cold. So if you and I are not diligent and take responsibility, even over our own heart, to seek the Lord and in the presence of the Lord, we'll find our love waning. And I don't want to get in that place. I've been there before. Have you been there before? I've been there before where I couldn't even watch a report without getting the spirit of that report on me. I said, hold on a minute. This is not love. This is not the kingdom of God. Amen. Remember I shared with you last week, like his own disciples wanted to call down fire on some people that didn't receive Jesus very well. Lord, you want to nuke them? Right? And Jesus looked at him and said, you don't know what spirit you're of. But I believe the people that dwell in the tabernacle of David, we're going to know what spirit we're of. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's a spirit of power. And it's a spirit of love. And it's a spirit of soundness of mind. Hallelujah. Boy, we need that right now. Hallelujah. How about some soundness of mind? I would watch that news network every day. If it was based upon soundness of mind. I hear the Spirit saying, when the bridegroom comes, will the bride be ready? Will we be in faith? Amen? Amen? Are we going to be wavering? Will we be able to endure to the end? Do we have that finishing faith? Are we going to be on mission, understanding that as long as we're on this planet, we're to take this gospel to every ethnicity? Amen? Amen? And will we have oil in our lamps that comes from intimacy with our bridegroom king? Amen? I'm asking you as your pastor to devote yourselves to the priestly ministry like never before. The ministry of worship and prayer unto the Lord in the secret place, yes, but also in the assembling together or joining together in the spirit to activate our faith. And I want to encourage you, participate. Amen? Amen. Activate your faith. I'm not trying to be a cheerleader. Sometimes I grab the mic and I say, please lift up your voice right now and declare this over your life and your heart. The reason I do that is sometimes so many people are just kind of disengaged from what's happening. I guarantee you didn't walk into David's tabernacle and there was any spectators. They were all participating, and the glory of the Lord was there. Amen? And because of these times of racial unrest and mistrust and pain and hatred and violence and everything else that's going on, I believe the glory of the house of the Lord will stand as a sign. It's going to be a beacon of hope. It'll be the city set on the hill. Are you with me? And it'll be there in the house of the Lord because people are going to be able to see. What are they going to see? All nations. All ethnicities as one under the canopy of the tabernacle of God. Hallelujah. And it's going to be a sign that will amaze people. It can be done. It can be done. It can be done. In fact, I'll say it will be done in the name of Jesus. Joshua told the people just on the eve of their crossing over into the promised land. He said, consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. But can I tell you, there's another side to that coin. I would just say it this way. Today's consecration equals tomorrow's victories. You got that? But also, you could say this. Today's complacency and lack of consecration becomes tomorrow's captivity and oppression. Amen? You know, in the book of Revelation, there were seven letters written to the seven churches. And each church was praised for what they did good, but they were also rebuked for areas that needed to be adjusted. I mean, we need to be man enough and woman enough to be correctable. But he wrote to the letter of the church to the church at Thyatira. He said this to them, I know your deeds and your love and your faith and your service and your perseverance, but I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel. And he goes on to describe the effects this woman with the Jezebel spirit was having in the congregation. But the point that I kept hearing in my spirit, I don't know why I keep banging myself in the head. The point that I kept hearing in the spirit, I'm not used to wearing glasses. The point that I kept hearing in the spirit was this: you tolerate it. How many of you have been guilty of that? There's something in your life you know good and well is not from God. You know good and well it's demonic. And yet you just kind of tolerate it. I did a healing teaching a year or so ago. And we taught some lessons on healing. And we talked about the fact that, you know, there has to be some tenacity in you to not just think, well, there's a snake in the house. There's a room in the back of the house. We don't go in that room because there's a snake in there. We all go, are you crazy? Why are you tolerating the snake that's in that bedroom? You don't even use it because there's a snake there. And I thought I heard that from somebody who was teaching. I think it was maybe somebody with Andrew Womack's ministry or something. But but what are we tolerating? I believe with all my heart, we do need to wake up. We do need to rise up. We do need to shine. Do we agree? Yes. Hello. But we also need to put our armor on. Hello? We need to put our armor on and do the spiritual warfare we need to do and fight the good fight. Hallelujah. Let's stop tolerating things. The Spirit spoke to my heart yesterday, though. Now, hear when I say this. Don't tolerate the enemy. Everybody say amen. Amen. But also don't become obsessed with him either. How many of you know there's a fine line? You know you need to address it. You need to deal with it. But how many of you ever had that happen? And supposedly you're not tolerating it. You're obsessed with what the enemy's doing. And you're talking about something robbing your joy and robbing your spiritual strength. And you become obsessed with what the enemy is doing. And what happens is you miss. Some of you have probably noticed on Facebook, I'm trying to post some things, even from the war zone that is Ground Zero in Minneapolis, where they're having all these worship revival meetings and they're baptizing people on the very corner that the riots broke out. I'm trying to help us understand. We've got to start to see this thing. Now, we don't want to tolerate what brought all this about, but at the same time, we need to understand we cannot become obsessed with what the enemy's doing. My obsession is God. I want the zeal of God to consume me. Are y'all with me? I want to be consumed by his consuming fire. Now, our God is definitely a lover, no doubt. Aren't you glad he's the lover of your soul? Hello? But when it comes to the enemy, our God is called a mighty man of war. Did you know that? He's called a mighty man of war. And it says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Did you know that it says in Isaiah 42 that God shouts out a war cry and terrifies his enemies? Hallelujah. So, yes, he's a lover, but he's also a fighter for righteousness and justice and good. Are you with me? This is what our God. So, we need to, we even sing it, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. But know this, he is the lamb that was slain, but he's also the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen? By the way, Judah means praise. And those of us that are part of the tribe of praise in the tabernacle of David, we have a lion, and the lion has roared. Hallelujah. The lion has roared. Now, Satan tries to go about like a roaring lion, but he's not one. He just tries to pretend to be one. He's toothless. Are you with me? Okay? Hello? But when God roars, it's different. Now, I want to share something with you. And it's going to take me probably 8 to 10 minutes to read this prophecy, believe it or not. I just found out this morning, I read the prophecy probably a couple of months ago. And it moved my heart, but even more so after what's taken place in the last couple of months. And what really stirred me was Dutch Sheets reread this prophecy, and somebody sent it to me. Somebody from back in Memphis sent this to me, and I'm listening to him read it and share a few things along it, and my spirit was just jumping inside, and he even said it one time. He said, I'm telling you people with all of my heart, this is a now word, even though it was spoken previously. Then I heard today that she first got this word over, 2 years ago? And then the Lord told her to re-release it, I guess, so to speak. You know, you hear about people doing that with movies, books, and songs. You re-release them. And it's almost like the Lord's saying, now's the time for that to really become dominant. And her name is, I want to give honor. I mean, she's a prophetess. Her name is Lana Valzer. And I've heard some things from her before, and they're always very, very sound. But she's from Australia. But the word was for the United States. And the Lord stirred her again. So here's a woman. You know, you can't hardly get any further away than Australia from here. And yet God's given this woman a powerful prophetic word for this nation. And I want to say when I say this, I'm a kingdom man. Are y'all with me? But it is wrong for us to think that God doesn't want to have a prophetic purpose for the United States. We can't look at the errors of any nation or the things that were evil that have been rectified or not rectified and say that they're disqualified from being used of God in the last days. Hello? We got to be careful of that. Because next thing you want to know, you'll start cursing the nation instead of blessing it. Are y'all with me? I haven't even showed you the word yet. That's what God's saying to me. Quit cursing it. Quit talking about how we deserve what we're getting and all that. We need to start releasing blessing. We got to turn this thing around. And it ain't about the other people. It's about the people who have the rightful position to do it. Are y'all with me? And to take that responsibility. So I want to read the word over you. It's gonna take a few minutes to read it. Are you ready? Take a deep breath. I want you to receive it. I want you to receive it with an open heart. And then we're going to activate and do some decrees from this prophetic word. And then we'll shout and go home. How about that? Are you ready? Amen. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Whew. Pastor, take a drink. Yeah, well. That would be nice, Leona, but I just added this to my message yesterday. So, I understand. I am going to make it available, though. I'm going to make the word available. We'll transcribe it and get it out on email to everybody. How about that? Okay. Here we go. This is this prophetess from Australia. Okay. Here we go. Over the past few days, I've been sensing a spirit of urgency over the United States and an excitement in my spirit that the King of Glory is stepping in. Come on, y'all. I saw the Lion of Judah positioned over the United States, and he was huge. Capital H-U-G-E. With each of his paws placed on the four corners of the United States. And he was covering the entire nation. And he opened his mouth, and out came a loud roar. Everybody thinks I'm loud. God's loud. It was the roar, get this, of Joel 3:16. Not John, Joel. And here's that word. The Lord roars from Zion and his voice thunders from Jerusalem. Okay? Lions roar to get their prey's attention. Okay? All right, I'll move on. I added that. It was the roar of God releasing the fear of God across the nation. Obviously, there's two types of fear. There's the awe and fear and reverence of the Lord, right? Hello? But there's also the fear that the enemy has when God arises. Are you with me? So there's two types of fear. In fact, during this video I was watching, Dutch Sheets, who's also a very strong prophetic man and teacher, he prophesied, he said this, he said, the Lord told me the Calebs are coming and the enemy is terrified. Remember we talked about the heart of the fathers to the children, right? Hello? Going back to her word, nothing can stand against my power and who I am. Everywhere the roar of Joel 3:16 went, get this, John 3:16 began to explode up out of the ground. Now, John 3:16 is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? How many ready to see that spring up from out of the ground? Hallelujah. It's the whole purpose and reason we're here. His roar was being released, demonstrating his power and his authority. But the roar of his heart, get this, was releasing the sound of the gospel louder than ever before. And this was happening so the world would know his great love and his power and an unlocking to prepare the nations for a mighty harvest of souls. Hallelujah. I heard the roar loudly, and I could also, get this, hear the laugh of God. It was so loud it shook everything. So that meant it was louder than Bill's laugh. Nothing could stand. Love you, Bill. Nothing could stand against the roar and the laugh of God. Instantly, I heard the verse in the spirit from Psalm 2, which says, he who sits in the heavens laughs. But then the next verse says, and he will speak and terrify them in his fury. Hello? It actually says in the word that Psalm 2:4 and Psalm 24:7 are keys right now for the United States. Psalm 24:7, we're gonna declare that psalm together at the end. Nothing will stand against my plans and what I am decreeing and establishing within the United States. I am releasing my laugh of victory over the nation, for I am stepping in. Come on. Decree with me, the King of Glory is stepping in. Let's do that right now. The King of Glory is stepping in. I am the one who will have the last laugh. For nothing stands against my plans and purposes, for I am Yahweh. Hallelujah. I then heard the Lord roar loudly again. And this time as he roared, I heard the declaration being made in the spirit. Now get this. All delays broken. All delays broken. Say it. All delays broken. And now I decree, accelerate, as the Lord roared over the nation. And I watched as his power and justice flowed from his mouth. All delays that were attempting to delay the mighty extensions of the kingdom and its plans of God were suddenly failing. And they were fallen and suddenly coming to nothing. Guys, we're going to see some things. I'm going to add this. We're going to see some things that we think are so terrifying and so strong. And what are we going to do about it? They're going to come to nothing. Come on. They're going to come to nothing. We won't even remember it. He spoke again. Where there has been a battle of delay in some ways, I now declare, now get this. He said, United States, accelerate further into your new day. And then it's twice in the prophecy. United States, accelerate further into your new day. Now, while I was reading this, with my passion for the native tribes and native nations, I know that within the United States, we have some other nations. And I believe the prophetic word is for all the nations that make up what we call it. Everybody with me? I believe that prophetically because I got a ton of prophetic words that are spoken directly to the native peoples. Okay? Are y'all with me? So hold on to that. And I can even go further, even about some people that would say, well, I'm not even a legal citizen. God is speaking to them too. Hello? We're going to see this. I could feel it in the atmosphere, the joyful expectation of the power of God being demonstrated in such significant ways across the nation, breaking delay. I don't know about you, but I got excited over that. I could just stay in camp on that and have a prayer meeting for a while. As the Lord was roaring over the nation, I could hear the loud sound, now get this, of intercession from the saints. Are you with me? Flowing with his roar. And I heard him say, many have heard my roar, and many have heard the rhythm of my roar, and they are interceding with my heart, with what my heart is decreeing, and it is changing a nation from the inside out. Don't say everybody else hears it, but the lion hears it. The Lion of Judah hears it, and it's changing things from the inside out. Hallelujah. We're trying to fix it from the outside in. It won't work because it never gets in. It's got to begin here. Amen. And I watched as hard ground was suddenly being broken over. Jennings brought that word about the wells. Get ready. Get ready for this. The hard ground was suddenly breaking open by his roar. And in the breaking open, hidden things were being exposed in greater ways. And the victory and justice of the Lord was being released. And there was a mighty move of the Spirit of God breaking chains of the hidden things that had been rooted for so long. These chains in the hidden things has attempted, get this, to cause delay in the United States. How many know it's time for things to be broken open? Amen? But they were now suddenly breaking. Hallelujah. And I watched as wells were opening up. And these wells were breaking open. But the one thing that struck me was that out of the wells exploded fire and water. The fire of my presence, my love, my purification, my revival, and the water of my spirit to cleanse and to flood the nation. Hallelujah. The United States will be marked by fire and water. Hallelujah. It's a new day of divine marking and commissioning upon the United States. The Lord showed me that there was a new day of commissioning upon the United States, and there's another threshold that is about to be crossed over. And that is why the Lord, is brooding heavily upon his people right now to intercede and partner with him. Anybody want to receive that? I'm serious. Anybody want to be a candidate for that group? Amen. To see the birthing of that which has been decreed. See, when something's decreed, it's got to be birthed. Whew. The new day of commissioning upon the United States is about to burst forth. And in this new commissioning, I saw a mighty decree being stamped upon the nation. And it said, United States of America, the nation that carries the justice of the Lord. It was stamped on the nation. And the Lord spoke to me again, there shall be mighty demonstrations of my divine justice upon the nation like never before. The roar of my justice that is being released over the nation is not only breaking delay, but it is releasing divine impartations of my justice into the land by the spoken word. And it's going to be carried into the nation and released into other nations by the decree of my people. Many words have been spoken in and over the nation that have decreed injustice. Hello? Most people speak the doom of this nation. I'm being honest with you. I've heard it. Are y'all with me? And probably when she first gave this word, it's nothing like what we're hearing now, where words have been used to release injustice. And I am now decreeing that the United States of America shall be known as a nation of my justice, says the Lord. As my people continue to rise up, grab hold of what I am saying. Will y'all grab hold of it? I say to all of our friends online, will you grab hold of what he's saying and decree it? That there's a mighty birthing of my justice taking place, and it will not be stopped and it will not be hindered. The roar of my justice is being released and the world will hear it. The sound, here it is again, the sound of my justice being released will resound. Hallelujah. Amen. Guys, I've been bringing you a word for 2-3 months about hearing a sound. I kept thinking, Lord, I know that Old Testament scripture. The Lord goes, no, that's a now word. Amen. There's a sound. As my people seek my heart and hear my voice and align with my roar and justice, it's going to be mightily demonstrated. And there's going to be a tidal wave of my justice that will flow into and from this nation. And as I continued to watch the Lord roaring over the nation, I heard him say, there shall be no more delay and greater breakthroughs of restoration. I'm drawing lines in the sand over the United States, and I'm decreeing no more. I am breathing acceleration into the restoration that I have decreed over the United States. And as the Lord decreed this, this is her speaking, I heard the Chris Tomlin song, Our God. Our God is greater, that song, being sung and throughout the nation by the people of God as a song for a season, a loud victory cry declaring the greatness of God. I thought that was interesting. She's got to put that in at the end of the prophecy. She said the time, I'm almost done, for a greater demonstration of the triumph of God has arrived, and greater demonstration of his power and his outstretched arm. There shall be a mighty turnaround in the name of Jesus. Come on, there's going to be a mighty turnaround in the church and in our families and in the nation itself. Amen. I believe. Would you stand with me right now? Praise team, come back up. We're going to finish up. Come on, everybody, stay with me. Let's activate this really quickly. I know it's gone a little bit long, but it's worth it. Hallelujah. Come on up. I want to ask you this. I want to ask all of you online, even if you're watching this at a later time. I want to ask you, let's set our hearts to intercede. Amen. Let's set our hearts to intercede and partner with the Lord. That's what I want to do. I want to partner with the Lion of Judah. Anybody with me? To see the birthing of his decrees. Now, I want to say this again. I want to make myself clear. I'm not lifting any nation above God. Okay? I'm not on my patriotic soapbox in that sense. But what I'm talking about, the righteous ones are to be blessing the nation, not cursing it. Are you with me? And so that the nation can enter into its end time purposes. So we're going to bless and not curse. Now, I do want to put up, did I give you Psalm 24? I want you to read, now this will be on the screen for you. And I want you to lift your voice with me together. And let's just do a few of these verses, because the prophetic word brought out that this would be a key Psalm verses for us. Are you ready? Let's say it together. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Say it again. Come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. Come on. Lift your hands to heaven. Lift your countenance upward toward your heavenly Father right now. Hallelujah. And I want you just to repeat after me these decrees. And I want you to do them with all of your heart, with a loud voice. Are you ready? The King of Glory, is stepping in. The roar of the Lion of Judah is now released. All delays broken. United States, accelerate further to your new day. Remnant Church, accelerate into your new day. Hard ground, break open. Say it again. Hard ground, break open. Chains of hidden things, be broken off. Wells, break open. Wells, break open. Come forth, fire and water. The United States will be marked by fire and water. The United States is the nation that carries the justice of the Lord. There shall be no more delay. Greater breakthroughs of restoration are here. Come on, say they are here. The time for a greater demonstration of the triumph of Christ has arrived, with a greater demonstration of his power and his outstretched arm. We decree a mighty turnaround for the remnant church, for this nation, for the tribal native nations. We declare a mighty turnaround in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. King of Glory.